Hey friends, welcome to the Drivecast, a daily podcast designed to help us read it in, pray it up, and live it out. My name's Dan, and I serve as the teaching pastor for our Worthington campus. Today, we're continuing our discussions through the messages from the Good Life series, looking at the book of Job. We're going to be focusing in today in Job chapter 13. Over the last couple weeks, we've had a whole bunch of discussion about what the book of Job means for our lives. Really, how do we take what is distilled here in this ancient book of wisdom and find ways to meaningfully make sense of it in our own modern context today? The Worthington campus, we've been talking about how the book of Job is really a series of invitations extended to each one of us to help us reimagine some aspect of God's character or ourselves, ultimately finding a deeper understanding of what God is doing in the world around us and how we might best thrive under His rule and reign. This week, we spent time talking about how the book of Job is an invitation for us to honestly face what we called the dark night of the soul. Now, got some explaining on what that phrase means, where it comes from, and what that invitation actually looks like here and now. Let me read to you from Job chapter 13, verses 22 through 28. Job says this, "Then call, and I will answer, or let me speak, and you reply to me. How many are my iniquities and my sins? Make me know my transgression and my sin. Why do you hide your face and count me as your enemy? Will you frighten a driven leaf and pursue dry chaff? For you write bitter things against me and make me inherit the iniquities of my youth. You put my feet in the stocks and watch all my paths. You set a limit for the soles of my feet. Man wastes away like a rotten thing, like a garment that is moth-eaten." One of the things that really is striking to me about the book of Job is Job's real honesty. And the language that he uses, I think, reflects a general hopelessness that he experiences in the book. Now, I am not saying that I think the book of Job is hopeless. I do think that the character of Job generally is. And what's intriguing to me about that is I think in our modern era, we are very interested in the Job that is patient and enduring and long-suffering. We want that kind of Job. I think the issue is that we're often uninterested in the process by which he becomes that patient, enduring, long-suffering Job. Right? The kind of person who is able to look at unimaginable loss in his own life and not have it absolutely crush him. He's not overpowered by despair and demise. Like, this does not have the final say in his heart and mind and how he even thinks about God. But how does he become that kind of person? That's the question that I've been interested in as we look through the book of Job. And I think the invitation is that we are able to actually name the darkness that we feel in our own hearts and mind before God. He welcomes that process in the way that he welcomes and allows Job to say these things to him. Right, just think about this for a moment. Right? He says this in verse 24, "Why do you hide your face and count me as your enemy?" Now I'm going to take just a stab in the dark and say, I don't think any of our lives match every detail of Job's life. But I will say what is common to many of us, especially in seasons of pain, is the question that Job asks right here. God, why do you hide your face from me and seemingly count me as your enemy? God, why have you abandoned me? I think this is a really common feeling that we have with God. And so much of like our current religious environment doesn't really afford us the opportunity to honestly express these things. But what I want us to see is that Job voicing his hopelessness gives us permission to voice our own. When we are in that space where it feels like God has turned away, where he's not responding, where we don't hear from him, where it feels like we have been abandoned by him. This is not an uncommon experience. In fact, I was personally shocked to find out that Christians have been writing about this feeling of abandonment from God for centuries, even going all the way back to the 2nd and 3rd centuries. Really, this was popularized in the writings of St. John of the Cross and Teresa of Avila, two medieval theologians who processed grief and suffering and brought a lot of language that still kind of lingers in some church traditions to this day, talking about what they called the dark night of the soul. And what they meant by that is this season that we enter when we experience loss. Like, it can be loss through death, but it can be all kinds of loss. The loss of anything meaningful to you, a specific relationship. It could be the loss or death of a dream because your life has not played out the way that you thought it would. It could be the loss of a sense of normalcy because you've moved into a new community, started a new job, and the people that you once knew no longer, they're not there in the same way that they were in the past, right? Like, loss brings us to this place of questioning, and the most painful kinds of losses often force us to ask the question, God, why have you done this to me? And what I think is so interesting about the way that they talked about the dark night of the soul was the fact that it wasn't this evidence of backsliding, that you're doubting your faith in a way that means you don't love God as much as you used to. They gave permission to followers of Jesus to genuinely voice this internal sense that something has changed in my relationship with God. It does not feel like it once did. And this is the place where I think Job is at. He is experiencing the dark night of the soul. Now, they spend a lot of time diagnosing what the dark night of the soul looks like and how it plays out and how we typically find that we no longer relate to God in the same ways that we once found really meaningful, that time in the Word feels dry, time in prayer feels a bit empty or forced. And that may be a very common experience to us. But one of the images that I think was really helpful and hopeful in St. John of the Cross describing the dark night of the soul, he used an analogy to say that really what's happening in this moment is akin to what a child experiences during the weaning process when it's moving from milk to solid food. And you think about that for a moment. Like, with my own kids, every transition we made from milk to solid food for the kid was not a fun experience. Like, all of my kids hated that experience because they felt in the moment that they were being abandoned or neglected, like they weren't getting something that they needed. And so, you know, the kids cry a lot and things like that. And it's not a fun experience for them. They recognize, even though they, you know, obviously can't voice it this way, but there is a different type of relationship that they have to their provider, to their mother, the one providing food for them. Like, all of that has changed. Now, we know on this end that that transition is absolutely necessary. None of us can survive just on milk, right? We need to make that transition to solid food. It does not mean it's an easy one, but it is a necessary one. Friends, I think we're invited to look at the book of Job and the dark night of the soul as an essential process in our own growth with Jesus. And it is painful. It is hard. There are moments where we feel that we have genuinely been abandoned by him. And what we find is not someone who just turns a deaf ear, but by faith in Christ, what we find is a Jesus who joins us in that feeling, knowing exactly what that is like, because he is one who has also said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Friends, the dark night of the soul is a very disorienting season, and it may be months, it could be years. But as we move through the dark night of the soul, we will find refreshment On the other side, we will find nourishment in a new way that does not look like what we had in the past. And therefore, we process grief not with a sense of hopelessness, but with a sense that God is working in ways that we just can't put our finger on right now. I don't say any of that to trivialize what experience you may be walking through right now. And if you want more context or have questions about that, I encourage you to listen to the message from this weekend or reach out and we can chat about what this looks like. But the invitation that Job extends to us is not to turn and run, but to honestly face the dark night of the soul. Thanks for tuning into the Drivecast. We'll see you back here tomorrow.